Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of July 9th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Howdy.
And Joe.
I just spilled beer everywhere.
Fantastic.
No, that's like true life.
Party foul.
That's autobiographical. Shit.
As long as it's not on your computer or your microphone, we should be all set.
No, just all over my chest.
Okay.
My hot, sweaty... I'm sorry.
All right, so...
I feel like one of the Bud Light girls.
All right, Spuds McKenzie.
Hi-yo.
So, we're back from our holiday break that we took last week to celebrate America. But, so...
Oh, yeah.
We're going to try to attempt to catch up with everything that we missed from last week and this week in terms of, like, news and show and tell and all that stuff. So, we're going to get right into it. There's a bunch of trailers that came out over the last couple weeks. Did you guys watch any of them?
I saw Man with the Iron Fist and then immediately regretted seeing Man with the Iron Fist.
Yeah,
but other than that,
produced, written, starring, and directed by RZA.
Yeah, so you know it's quality work. And I did see Here Comes the Boom, but not the other two.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about. Did you see Man with Iron Fist, Chris?
Yep.
Let's talk about that one for a little bit.
I did. All right.
So, RZA, directing a crazy martial arts kung fu movie, directed produced by Quentin Tarantino. Or presented by Quentin Tarantino. Also, we got Russell Crowe in there, Lucy Liu in there. And it looked insane.
This looked like Movie Favor the movie. This usually seemed like a bunch of people who owed like the RZA to like a bunch of other like odd jobs and like, hey, just be in my movie and like we'll call it even.
I'm surprised more the Wu-Tang Clan isn't in it.
They probably owed up already. Now it's like, well, who else do I got dirt on? Like, Ava Sotero, like from another time. Like,
it should be just like the movie version of like, was it like Wu Tang, Shaolin, whatever their fighting game was?
Yeah, I kind of remember that, but it's worse.
Shaolin style or something? I don't know. They had like fighting, like karate, like a Street Fighter game. It looks incredibly violent because like RZA's like punching people with his iron fist and like popping their eyeballs out and stuff.
I'm totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm. And Russell Crowe.
Boy Kung Lee, isn't it? So that's cool.
Russell Crowe is like a crazy drunk gunslinger guy.
I really hope he's just playing his character from South Park.
Oi, Tugga!
Fighting around the world. Oi, Asian. Yeah, you. Come here. We're gonna fight.
So, I don't know. It could be, like, it could go either way. It could be horrible, or it could be kind of crazy fun. And then,
it could be.
So, and then, also, let's get your, since you're the MMA expert, Joe, let's get your opinion on Here Comes the Boom.
Ooh. it looks okay, I guess. Like, I'll definitely.
This is the movie that the UFC backed instead of Warrior.
Yes, which is just because Kevin James used to actually be Joe Rogan's roommate.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They were biffles. Still are, as far as, I mean, I'm aware. But, you know, I will say this. Kevin James is a huge MMA fan. And the guy actually trains, from what I understand, he's actually pretty legit. you know, he's also very close with Boss Rutan, who will be featured prominently in the movie, as you could see in the trailer. And, you know, he's always cage side at events, stuff like that. Like, he really does follow this. So, like, for him to, you know, for him to make a movie, I'm assuming that it would have to be a labor of love to some extent. You know, it's not like Adam Sandler is, you know,
yeah.
Here comes the boom. Like, it's
Happy Madison production.
Right. Like, it looks like it's being taken somewhat seriously by him. Apparently, he got into, like, really good shape for this movie. So, you know, we'll see. But as far as a movie goes, I mean, you know, it kind of has a predictable sort of arc to it. It kind of follows the same plot as Warrior, except without any of the seriousness.
Like, just getting rid of the Tom Hardy character? It's like...
Yeah, like, I was basically watching the trailer, and I was like, this? I feel like I just saw this movie. I was like, oh, I did. It's Warrior, but this has, like, comic charm. Whereas Warrior had, like, acting.
We need to save the extracurricular activities.
Yeah, pretty much.
What will the kids do without band?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'll see it, but I just don't know that I'll enjoy it.
It looks like there's also, like, who else would fight your wise? It was, like, definitely, Mayhem Miller was in it.
Yes.
And who seems like to be the main, like, when, like, Kevin James goes for the championship or whatever, could you know he's going to get to the championship somehow?
Ooh, I know, Mayhem, Boss Rutan, I mean, Boss plays, like, his friend and, I guess, maybe trainer.
Yeah.
And then, I don't remember who else is in it, because I saw the trailer literally the day it came out, mm-hmm. like, on my phone, in my car, which coincidentally is how I also watched UFC 148 this past weekend, because I had a total power outage, so I had to find completely legally and legitimately find a way to watch it on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
And watching that fight was like, being in Soviet Russia or something, just like, huddled in a car for energy.
Yeah, like it was pretty terrible. It was not the highlight of my UFC watching career, but I need to look into who else is in it, or just watch the fucking trailer again. That'd probably be easiest.
I think they should, like, because they like watch a fight at the beginning of the trailer. It's like, yeah, $10,000 for getting punched out. I could do that.
Yeah, I know Mayhem's definitely in it. He had, like, green hair in it, which is kind of Mayhem-esque.
And he seems like he's, like, in, like, the underground, like, bottom-level cage fight or whatever.
Yeah.
So, that ends out in sometime this fall. I think, like, September or October, around there. And then other trailers, there was Jack Reacher, which is the big holiday movie with Tom Cruise. I guess it's based on, like, a series of, like, crime novels or pretty popular crime novels. But I know, like, a lot of people who read the books are like, Tom Cruise, like, I guess the character is, like, nothing like Tom Cruise at all. Like, he's just, like, the guy in the book is supposed to be, like, this, like, 6'5" or 6'8", just, like, totally jacked, got, like, military guy. Who's, like, and then the whole plot is, like, this guy is, like, wrong. He's, like, says he's wrongfully accused of being, like, a sniper and, like, murdering a bunch of people. So he requests that Jack Reacher come in, because he's, like, a private investigator, to, like, come in and find out who actually is sniping these people. And it seems like they're definitely going for a really, like, drive sort of style, because a lot of, like, Tom Cruise in, like, a muscle car driving around and beating people up.
Yeah.
Which apparently in the book, he does not drive a car at all. He just, like, goes around and beats the crap out of people, but there's not a lot of, like, car chases or anything. It's not really, associated with the character. He just, like, goes around and goes into bars and beats people up and uses his military skills.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Tom Cruise, not that believable.
it's like
in that sort of
badass military, like, beating the crap out of everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for, like, Mission Impossible it makes sense, because, like, a lot of it kind of relies on, like,
gadgets
and like being like nimble.
Yeah.
But as far as being like a gigantic badass, like I'm thinking of like Chris Hemsworth and like Thor, you know.
Yeah.
Not really.
I think the like the character in the book is more like, I don't know, Dolph Lundgren or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or Arnold, like Arnold in his prime.
Yeah.
So that's definitely sort of a change going from like that sort of person to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked all right. I don't know. We're gonna have like a bunch of like battling mediocre crime movies this fall with like Alex Cross and Jack Reacher and other name movies. And then the other one was speaking of Dolph Lundgren, One in the Chamber. Which is, I think it's coming out either the week, I think the same week, or the week before Expendables 2 comes out. So you're going to have plenty of Dolph Lundgren this August.
Holler.
And it's, I think, and plot's pretty, it's a pretty like standard plot of like, Cuba Gooding Jr. is a hitman, and then they hire Dolph Lundgren, who's a hitman, to hunt down the other hitman.
Because
he blows a job, apparently, or something. So it's basically like Assassination Games or any other Hitman movie where they hire, it's like dueling hitmen. Assassins.
It's, by the way, going back to Here Comes the Boom really quick, that was Krzysztof Sosinski.
Okay.
The, really, the tatted up guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a former Ultimate Fighter cast member. And interestingly enough, Joe Rogan is actually in it as himself. I completely forgot about that, but he mentioned it briefly on a podcast a while ago. So
yeah, I'm sure he's gonna be doing like they're gonna be doing commentary for the fake fight or whatever.
Right, it's him and
like Goldberg.
Him and Goldie, yeah. They're both gonna be in it as well as Bruce Buffer, and I believe Dana White is in it too, if I remember from him like talking about it. But it should be pretty cool. So I like the actual UFC licensing. But anyway, back to One in the Chamber. Sorry about that.
Oh, I don't know. It looks okay. Like, it looks like there could be some good action.
Hey, if it's Dolph Lundgren, it has my
yes
respect right off the bat. So like I'll be interested.
His directed DVD movies have been like sort of like a level above a bunch of the other guys, like Seagal or something. Like Dolph's are like actually like they have good action in them, and also like. Decent, like they're shot good and all that stuff. Like, and then also like some of them are just like create like over the top awesome, like Command Performance, where like he murders a man with rock and roll. So yeah, so that's out in August, and we're actually going to be getting some copies of that to give away in August. So stay tuned to the site for that if you want to get a chance to win one in the chamber.
Yeah, buddy.
So, moving on to, actually some comic news. And actually, Comic-Con is just starting as we're recording this on Wednesday. So, next week, I'm sure we'll have a ton of Comic-Con news to get wade through. But for right now, we got a little bit to get started with. And, one of the big ones was that Marvel announced that, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be their, second movie for 2014 with, Cap 2.
Woo!
What?
Well, actually,
who?
Guardians of the Galaxy. Space Cops. Or Space Avengers. Rocket Raccoon.
All right.
Rocket Raccoon.
Howard the Dog.
He's a cockney space raccoon who has giant guns and fights the Hulk and stuff.
Okay, why is this a movie?
Because they are pretty closely tied into like Thanos and all that, all the cosmic stuff that happens in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So this will
probably so Howard the Duck.
Yes, Howard. Pretty remake. Howard
your guys remake of Howard the Duck is never gonna happen, so just drop it.
I'm never gonna get my weird duck furry fantasy.
Hey man, you almost do get it in the original Howard the Duck.
Yeah,
pretty close.
How's your petition to get Howard the Duck on Blu-ray going, guys?
Terrible.
Pretty awful, actually. I will say, however, that it was technically in HD on I think, HBO Family a few weeks ago when I recorded it and watched it from beginning to end and loved it.
Oh, my God. What's the...
Hey, dude, Howard Rocks and the chick from Back to the Future is actually pretty cute in that movie, so it's a win-win.
Leah Thompson.
Yeah, Leah Thompson.
Whatever, dude. She's just a broad to me.
Yeah, it's a hard knock, not going to be appearing in any Marvel... I don't think he's going to be appearing in any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe anytime soon. Unless I need...
That's your opinion.
Unless, like, the Avengers need, like, weird, like, legal... unless I need, like, weird legal advice or something. Because isn't he, like, a lawyer in the...
He is a lawyer on his home planet, yeah.
And, like, in the actual, like, Marvel Comics universe, he's, like, a lawyer.
Yeah, wasn't... Didn't he have a cameo in one of the Marvel Zombies also?
Yep.
Oh, man. So awesome.
I think everyone was in Marvel Zombies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so, but anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm sure it's going to be, like, it's going to be, like, the, like, how Captain America, like, led directly into Avengers. Like, this is going to be, like, the lead up, in, lead into Avengers 2.
Yes.
You should go check out, you should go check out some Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, Joe, because they're pretty awesome. They're actually, they were on Earth's Mightiest Heroes this season. They came and, like, helped the Avengers catch this, like, intergalactic fugitive. They're actually in, like, the, because, like, Marvel has this new sort of Avengers comic series, like, a new Avengers series going on called Avengers, mm-hmm. Avengers Assemble.
Oh, yes.
Which is, I guess, like, did you guys see Avengers? Go see them, not read the comic.
Yeah. Hey, comics. Those are cool.
Yeah, and they just appeared in that because they're like, Thanos is trying to take over Earth again.
Oh, Thanos.
Yeah, so.
When will you learn?
So they've been all over the place, so they're going to be ending 2014 off for Marvel and then going into 2015 with Avengers 2. And I believe like the schedule is like next year is Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Thor 2 might be next year as well. Or
yes.
And then 2014 will be Cap 2 at Guardians of the Galaxy. Which is in comparison to DC is who has apparently decided to abandon all movie development for the near future. Cuz they announced I believe it was at Comic-Con today that besides Man of Steel next year, after that, there's going to be no new DC movies till 2015.
Don't get me started.
Which I think is code for, like, we're going to scramble and, some desperate jiggering to get a Justice League movie developed.
Yeah, like we were talking about right before the podcast, that whole, like, Silver Age Batman Arkham City sequel being a prequel... showing Joker and Batman, like Batman's first encounter with the Joker set in the Silver Age and introducing Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman, probably Green Lantern, and probably Martian Manhunter. You know, we were talking briefly before the podcast, and I kid you not, like, with these two as my witness, I said, okay, so they're going to release that in lieu of doing a new Green Lantern, a Flash movie, a Wonder Woman movie, like what Marvel did and what made the Avengers so successful, arguably, was their development. Everyone got a great good movie of their own leading up to the Avengers. Well, with this, they're like, hey, everyone and their mom is going to buy the new Batman game. So let's just throw all the characters in there and have the development come from there. Super. So it kind of sucks for me because as such a huge fan of Batman, it kind of seems like they're selling out the next Arkham sequel or the next Arkham game for the sake of making, you know, a big payout with a Justice League movie. So, you know, in my opinion, I think the Justice League is the inferior superhero team.
Mm-hmm.
I said it. I think the Avengers wins every single time, hands down. But, you know, that's just me. I don't know. But it was very transparent because then I went on, you know, you guys heard it. I went on to read the article that outlined that same plan. So it's like, shit, like, this is so obvious, like, it's just, you know, it's a very ill-conceived idea, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll probably, like, use all their, like, Dark Knight Rises money to, like, all right, how we got to figure out how we're going to make a Justice League movie.
Dude, I guarantee you they're doing it already.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it already. Christopher Nolan's going to be an executive producer because now that's the deal they're trying to get with him. WB is trying to get like a Clint Eastwood deal with him where it's like, listen, whenever you feel like doing something, it's with us. Like whatever you want to make, we'll make it. But could you please just like be like a muse, so to speak, for like all of our shit that's comic book related? You know, I mean, he's producing Man of Steel, which, you know, I'm happy about because he certainly does have an eye for, you know, storytelling. You know, whether you love his movies or hate his movies, like, he's a good storyteller. So, I mean, that makes me at least a little bit enthusiastic and hopeful for a for what can be done with a Justice League movie. But I just, you know, it's not apples to apples when you have the video game tying into the movie. I mean, I think that's pretty unprecedented. You know, I mean, it's one thing to have a video game tie-in to a movie, but this is a movie tie-in to a video game that isn't totally original. It's not like making a Tomb Raider movie. Like, this is literally laying the groundwork for a movie. You know, they haven't even done that with a comic, really.
You know, a smarter thing would have been a cartoon. That is just the pure, like, how to explain backstory.
Yeah.
Like without, like, overly complicated. And playing a video game is, like, it takes work, you know? That's not something that, like, you know, a lot of people have the patience for to do, to, like, tell a story.
You know,
like, I know that some people, like, when you play... Now, go on.
No, go ahead, good.
I was saying, like,
I was just going to say, what really bothers me is the fact that, like, people don't... They totally lost out on, like, the idea of a miniseries. Like, does nobody remember when there used to be miniseries?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Like, we couldn't do, like, a 6 to 8 episode run. Let's do 4 1-hour episodes. So really, we're looking at 4 45, 48-minute with commercial episodes, you know, with each one detailing the origins of the Justice League and them coming together. Or just the origin.
That's guaranteed viewership, because if a movie's so well, the series is going to sell well. It's one of those things where if A works, well, then B's going to work too, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I would imagine people not wanting to see, like imagine the Avengers made, like, a live-action TV show to follow up for Avengers 2. That shit would just, like, sell, like, that's just printing money.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Although Avengers...
I mean, look at what...
I'll say...
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's not really helping Avengers vs. Mighty Heroes at all, but...
No, but that's just because they wanted they saw how much damn money the Avengers made, so they wanted to follow that model. It's like, okay, that's our universe now. Like, we can't have all these different universes happening.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the problem that DC has. Because you have all these movies exist within a bubble. The Dark Knight, the whole Dark Knight trilogy is its own universe. There's no mention of even, like, you know, Metropolis. You know, there are no other heroes that inhabit that universe. There's no Lex Luthor presidential bid ? On the cover of, like, the Gotham Times. You know, there's no sort of tie-in like that. The closest thing we got to that was in Superman Returns when they say that he's been spotted, like, over Gotham. And it's like, oh, that's where Batman lives. You know?
Wink, like, wink.
And let's point out, that took, like, 40 years for that to be, like, acknowledged, you know? And all this time to say, like, in a non-comic or cartoon universe, to point out that, hey, like, this universe might be connected of, like, other heroes, you know? Like, they're so slow on trying to connect these characters. I don't know why they're trying to, like, always keep them apart.
Yeah, a lot of that is because it's different movie studios, probably. But that shouldn't have been the case with Superman Returns, because that was legendary as well. So I don't know.
Is it Legendary, like, doesn't Warner Bros. Own Legendary?
Which owns DC, so yeah. I mean, WB owns both of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes the most sense. And, but I don't believe Green Lantern, was that Legendary also?
That was, oh man.
I don't think it was.
Legendary piece of shit.
Oh, you cold, Chris, you cold.
I waited for that. I waited, like, after 2 Legendaries. I was like, oh man.
I want to say, like, Green Lantern was, like, Fox? Or no, like, maybe, like, Universal? I don't know.
To the Google webs.
Yes. I definitely wasn't legendary. Actually, it's probably Warner Brothers because they freaking own it, but.
Probably. Come on, Google.
Cool, find it first.
There can be only one. God damn, I think Green Lantern, like, removed itself from the internet.
Wait, it was Warner Bros. Pictures.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. So, DeLine? Sure, okay, whatever. That's legitimate.
Yeah. Some weird Russian front company.
Well, anyway, the fact of the matter is that, you know, if you look at something like Gotham Knight, Batman Gotham Knight, that animated piece of shit that they released that was supposed to tie in the gap, it was supposed to fill the gap between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. That's the sort of thing they could have done for this.
Mm-hmm.
They could have said, hey, here's a quick vignette for each character. This is what they do.
Yeah, why can't they do that? Or, like, fucking, they did, like, the Green Lantern Emerald Knights, where they had, like, a bunch of, like, features on different Green Lanterns. Like, just...
Justice League New Frontier is a great Silver Age movie.
Yeah.
Just prevent that. Why do you need to make a video game about it, too, now?
Or it's, like, Justice League Origins or something, and, like, resize, like, a DC animated series, like, movie.
Yeah. I don't know. The Silver Age, that's just so weird.
Marvel's just gonna, like, rub DC's nose in it for, like,
what, fuck DC? Yeah, basically.
They're gonna have fucking Rocket Raccoon on the big screen before, like, DC gets Justice League on the big screen.
I know. It's really, honestly, kind of pathetic.
It is.
Like, just because, like, I really hate to sound like a bitch. Like, I really do. And, you know, I love DC. I love seeing their movies. Even if they suck, I love seeing them. I love that they come out. I love that they happen. But, you know, the problem is, like, as soon as, like, Thor came out and was good, shouldn't it have been, like, all hands on deck? Like, let's start,
yes.
You know, making, like, good... movies.
DC movies?
Leading up to, yeah, like, leading up to, you know, the Justice League movie. Like, honestly, you can bite the bullet with Green Lantern and just say, you know what, it came out, it wasn't as good as we wanted it to be, but it happened, and people at least know the origin of the Green Lantern, don't need to make that movie again. Realistically, all they had to do was wait for Superman, Man of Steel to come out, then you release Wonder Woman, as, like, you know, an intermission type deal. No offense, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you release The Flash. Then you have a Justice League movie. Then you have the Batman reboot.
Yep.
That's it. That's all you had to do, because you know what? You don't need to introduce Batman. Batman doesn't even have to be in the first Justice League movie. Now, would they ever do that? No, because they know that Batman, you know, is basically where the majority of the money is going to come from. But, you know, if you're looking at the source material, Batman isn't always in the Justice League. There's a lot of times where they're like, we need your help, and he's like, busy.
Yeah.
It's like, we need your help, get out of my cave, Clark. You know?
Kryptonite.
Yeah, pretty much. Fuck, like, even Lego Batman did a better... Like, just have Lego Batman 2 be the prelude to the Justice League movie, because guess what? That tied it together pretty fucking nicely.
Well, did you hear, like... That's gonna happen, like, because they're making the Lego movie
with Batman and Superman in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on, DC? What are you doing, DC?
I don't know. I really don't know. But you know, hire me. I saw right through your plan, and I've got very little experience, but a lot of heart. And we all just want to see you do well. That's what it comes down to.
Maybe we'll hear.
We really do.
Maybe we'll hear more as, like, Comic-Con goes on.
We can only hope so.
So stay tuned next week for that, for an update on that, maybe. So, moving on, some sad news. We lost a couple of big actors over the last week or two. So first up, Andy Griffith, America's Grandpa. Matlock,
the general from Spy Hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff. He was another.
The Sheriff of Mayberry.
I don't know. Everyone just remembers him from Matlock, really.
Well, it depends on like what, like if you're. Like, if you're, like, really old, you, like, remember him from, I think it was just the Andy Griffith Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Matlock. And also, Ernest Borgnine also passed away, which I, like...
Oh, my God.
He seemed like
Marty?
He seemed like, one of the person, like, he would just, oh, like, he would never, like, he was immortal or something, you don't, like, never die.
Pretty much.
Well, like, you thought he died early on, and whoever was, like, his clone is still walking around, yeah.
Yeah, he's like Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not dead.
Yeah, Abe Vigoda has not died yet.
Hey, don't jinx it.
Not God would.
Don't jinx it. Old Abe.
But Ernest Borgnine, like, he's got a more diverse background. No, nothing against Andy Griffin, but, like, I remember Ernest Borgnine, like, in many things, like, recently.
Mm-hmm. He was in, like, a bunch of, like, World War II movies.
Yeah. And he was also Escape from New York.
Yep. As Cabbie, yep. He was in Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen.
The Wild Bunch.
He was in March.
The Wild Bunch.
Movie. Hello.
I remember...
He,
I remember his, when he was on The Simpsons. He was, like, a star in The Simpsons for the episode where, like, Bart becomes a Boy Scout. And he's like the celebrity dad because the one
really
yeah when they go on the rafting trip and he's like oh because like Ned is like the scout leader he's like oh man Billy I'm sorry I know about your dad's dead but we got a celebrity dad for you Ernest Borgnine he's like hey
he
kids
won an Academy Award for being Marty in Marty okay it also won Best Picture that year.
Mm-hmm.
Best director, best writing, and best adapted screenplay. I know, I took a film course that had this movie in it. It was on a test, okay? Mm-hmm. A test I did well on. It's his best work. Simpsons is cool, but see Marty if you haven't seen it. It holds up to this day. It's awesome. It's an awesome movie. It's like the original Curb Your Enthusiasm, if that makes any sense.
I guess, yeah, it makes sense. He was also in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember him. He's one of the voices of Small Soldiers.
He was?
Yeah, he was Kip Killigan. Who I believe. So, I believe he was like Kip Killigan. He was like the knife expert or something.
Was he the like Mohawk with the blonde hair or the? I don't think someone else.
He had like the slick back black hair.
Well, I just know Tommy Jones, and that's it.
Yeah.
It was not Tommy Jones.
And then also, like, this is, like, one of his, like, deep cuts, but it was Mr. Science Theater episode. Merlin's Shop of Mystical Wonder.
Oh, boy.
He was, like, because he's basically the grandpa from Princess Bride, but it was, like, he was, like, telling, like, this horrific story about Merlin, like, fucking people over.
Jesus.
like I remember like the one joke the guys were making because he kept making Ernest Borgnine impressions. He's like, you see, Billy, the cat became a demon, so he burned his face off and the cat was running around on fire and screaming at the top of its lungs like, stop, Grandpa Borgnine, stop.
Yeah.
Shut up, kid, you're gonna listen to this story. Which, that was, if you haven't seen that episode, that's an awesome, amazing episode of Mr. Science Theater. Because that movie is just, is like the most cobbled together, just piece of crap. It's like two separate movies, like two separate TV movies, and they like trying to like fit, like smash together into one movie.
It was a different time.
Yeah. And also has like the greatest Nazi sequitur in like movie history. With, like, this kid just like running around singing "Rock and Roll Martian." Rock and Roll Martian.
No, that totally makes sense in its error, I guess.
With like, he has like those like weird like spring eyeglasses, and he's just like running around seeing Reckonable Martian.
What was it, like the 50s when this came out? 60s?
No, this is like 1990 something.
Oh, that's even worse.
I mean, the house, like, it looks like it was filmed in the 70s, because like the house is like shag carpeting and shit, but. I don't know. Go check out some Ernest Borgnine movies if you haven't seen
them. Seriously.
And then
start with Marty.
RIP to both of those guys. Yes, yeah, start with Marty.
Yes.
So
just because, like, I'm sorry, but like it's his best like representation of like who he kind of like got stereotyped into as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people, he wasn't like a looker, as they say, and like Marty really kind of deals with that and like how awkward he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
So moving on to other news, this is kind of came out earlier this week. It was kind of crazy news, but Michael Fassbender, everyone's favorite genre actor now.
He's so hot right now.
He is so hot right now. And he's awesome in everything.
I'm going to start calling him an Hansel.
Fassbending things.
Oh.
But he's going to be producing and starring in an Assassin's Creed movie.
I'm okay with that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Starring as Altair?
I don't think they haven't said if he's gonna be. It's based on the first game. I don't know if he's gonna be Desmond or Altair.
He has to be Altair.
He'd be a good either of them, actually.
I'm sure he speaks like whatever the fuck language in it, like 16th century Arabic or whatever.
Probably. Yeah, they ain't gonna do that. They're not gonna speak Arabic
because he speaks like seven languages or something, or he knows like because he speaks like French and German and English and like a bunch of other crazy languages, like. When they're doing like Inglourious Basterds, like he was like fluent in like pretty much every language they were doing in Inglourious Basterds.
Michael Fassbender is a bad motherfucker. Like, I got news for you. That dude is no joke. Like, he's a badass actor, and like, I don't know, man. He just seems.
I don't know, but you guys forgot that he. You guys forgot that he was in Jonah X.
Who cares? I liked that shit. As you. Recall, if you go back to our KS Awards from 2011.
Yeah. Number 10. That's movie of the year.
Yeah, 10. Yep. Last.
I think, yeah, I think
someone said, hey, you know what you should invest your money in? A Jonah Hex movie. And someone was like, totally. That's what I like. I like what it represents.
And we'll get the guys who did Crank to write it.
Yep.
We'll get some wacky, I don't know, who directed that movie? By some music video director to direct it.
Some dude. Yeah, I...
Some guy with one name. I'm tired of being... Some guy with one name, like Chaos, or...
or fucking, what's his name? Like, McG?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Michael Fassbender, Assassin's Creed movie. I am pretty much sold on that already.
Amen.
Anything with Michael Fassbender at this point is just like, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I hate to sound like a fucking, like, nut hugger, but I'm hugging nuts. Like, that guy's the man.
Magneto, best part of Haywire.
Which I'll be talking about. Yeah, we'll get spoiler alert.
Okay. Yeah, best part of Prometheus.
In 300.
Influenced by David Bowie.
He was in 300?
Yeah.
Who was he in 300? This random Spartan guy?
He was the one that cut off that Persian... What?
he cut off the Persian... What?
You know that Persian who was, like, whipping everyone, and he jumped up and chopped off his arm?
Oh, okay, he was that guy.
That was Fassbender.
Okay.
And then he was also the one with, I think he was Stelios. And then he was also the guy that said that they'll fight in the shade.
Oh, okay.
That's Sally. That's Fassbender. Yeah, he knows how to put on and off weight. Like, he was muscular back in 300, then he, like, dropped dramatically. Or at least he, like, was really cut, and then he just kind of, yeah.
Well, we also haven't, like, seen him shirtless recently, I don't think.
True.
You know? Like, it wasn't, it's not like, all right.
But he wasn't, like,
Well, Shame came out, and he saw the whole Fassbender.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, you know, that buff 90s Jim Lee Magneto in X-Men First Class.
No.
Like, I like that 90s Magneto. Yeah, it was just, like, on roids.
Every character was on roids in the 90s.
True.
And they had pouches all over themselves.
So much. Oh, dude, there's that really famous, like, one picture of Captain America, that one drawing of him.
The Rob Liefeld picture where it's just, like, his chest is, like, blowing up.
Christ.
Like, he has no left arm or right arm, it's just, like, his chest is, like, expand, like, I don't know, it's, like, if he was, like, a life, like, an actual person, he would just, like, collapse.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
He's got, like, I don't know, he's got, like, 10 extra ribs or something.
It's just, it doesn't even look like, oh, he's big. It looks like, oh, what's wrong with Cap?
Yeah. He's got to wear his power armor because he's, Super Soldier Suit armor is wearing off.
Ugh.
Heroes Reborn.
Whoever drew that needs to be shot.
Yeah.
And then burned alive.
I believe it was like Rob Liefeld who did a bunch of other.
Yeah, it was.
Isn't he the guy who just like he basically is like creative process like add blood or death to any character like any like Marvel like because I think he did a lot of DC characters so like you just add like death so that like Deadpool you have like Death Pool or Blood Pool.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
That's pretty much it.
So, actually, speaking of comics, moving on from the Michael Fassbender and Assassin's Creed story, they announced some of the casting for The Wolverine, the upcoming Wolverine Hugh Jackman movie, set based on the Wolverine's time in Japan.
Yeah.
And a lot of Japanese actors who I've not personally heard of before. But the one person that jumped out was Will Young Lee, who is Storm Shadow currently in G.I. Joe, is going to be playing Silver Samurai.
Great.
Is there no other Asian actors, like, to hire? It seems like
Brandon and Bruce Lee are both dead, so no.
Check it.
It's gonna like keep recycling the same three like top. If it's not Jet Li, if it's not Jackie Chan, then it's like one Korean dude who we'll use for like one or two movies and then never see from again. And that's how the cycle goes. So, like the past 8 years.
Oh wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I got a correction. He's not Storm Shadow. He was. Hold on, give me a second here. Yeah, he was the like in the beginning. He was like the bad guy in Die Another Day, like before he became like a white guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the most insulting Bond villain.
Yeah.
For the Asian people.
He's also been on Hawaii 5-0, and Bionic Woman, and he was in Elektra.
Oh.
Yep, he was the main, like, son of the villain or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and he was also in Torque.
Yeah, he was the Asian biker
yes.
on the good guy's side.
Yes.
Good lord.
And apparently he's going to be in Total Recall coming up next month. Yeah, so the Wolverine, this guy is casting, and that's I think they said James Mangold is going to be directing it. Who I think he directed 310 to Yuma. after
good
after Darren Aronofsky dropped from the project. Yeah, he directed.
Man, Darren Aronofsky drops from a lot of shit.
Yeah, RoboCop.
Like, that's comic related.
RoboCop and Wolverine.
RoboCop, Batman Year One, and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
it's a bitch move, Darren.
He also directed Walk the Line, so. And Copland.
Yeah, well, Copland, I bet he wishes he had back. But, you know.
Maybe he directed Walk Hard, I would be more excited about Wolverine, but...
You know, I bought that movie on Blu-ray.
It's fantastic.
I own Walk Hard, and I love that movie. I'm not ashamed to say it, I own that movie.
It's super underrated.
Completely. Just to see John C. Reilly singing Starman by David Bowie, like wearing an astronaut outfit. Like, it's a beautiful movie. I might watch that tonight. Thank you for bringing that up.
So many cameos.
It's perfect. Just the name, that, just the fact that his name is Dewey Cox, and they got away with that. Like, someone at the MPAA was like, oh, seems reasonable to me.
Yeah. And then, like, I think it's the unrated version where, like, he mirrors, like, Cheryl Teagues. So mm-hmm. She was, like, Cheryl Cox Teagues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Such an awesome movie.
For real.
And, so, last bit of news for this week. Some more rumors swirling around about the Michael Bay Platinum Dunes Ninja Turtles movie, which has been delayed till 2014.
Because of death threats.
Yes.
Hopefully.
But apparently I can't remember what site actually got to read the script. They got like an early version of the script, they said. But it said Krang, Bebop, and Rocksteady are in this new movie.
Good, they should be.
Yeah. They've never...
Because they're fucking essential characters.
And they've never been in a Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, such a damn shame.
They're supposed to be in two.
Yep.
But we got Tokar and Rezar.
Yeah.
Who, well, don't get me wrong, I love Tokar and Rezar dearly,
yes.
But it's not Bebop and Rocksteady.
No.
Nor is it Krang in his giant robot man-sleeve.
Krang!
I'm sorry, man, go ahead.
I was like, in his giant man suit, it was like the most... It was pretty freaky to look at, to think, like, that was his, like, this is a good design. You know,
yes,
like...
I'm in the belly button.
Yeah.
Giant the belly button.
And, like, the guy's face always freaked me out as a kid.
Just emotionless, just, like, staring face.
It was a big, bald man.
And, like, red tighty-whities.
Oh. Just, like, only in the early 90s.
If it was T-Fury or Ripped Apparel, but both are amazing T-shirt stores that have, like, daily T-shirt deals from, and they support artists, so support them because they kick ass, and I love them. But a few days ago, I think it was, like, last week, one of the two, and forgive me for confusing them, but one of the two had a P.F. Krang's shirt. And it was just fucking brilliant, and I don't know why I didn't buy it, but it's pretty epic.
80s Tees has, like, the Krang costume shirt, where it's, like, yellow shirt, but it has, like, Krang on the bottom of it.
Yep. That's badass, because I've seen, like, you know, Hot Topic, or not Hot Topic, Spencer Gifts has, like, the superhero, like, Halloween T-shirts, where it's, like, this looks like Batman's chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that shirt in my closet. But, like, then they also had the ones for, like, all four Ninja Turtles. Like, that was pretty great. But you don't see them for, like, Master Shredder or Krang, so...
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
AC's also has the... They also have a Shredder hoodie now. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, get the fuck out. Really?
Yeah, and it's got, like, all, like, it looks like it has, like, all the, like, blades coming out of it and everything, but they're, like, they're fabric, but that's, like, you have, like, the hoodie has, like, all blades on it, and, like, the sleeves have all blades on them. And it's, like, I think it's one of those hoodies, too, where you can, like, put the whole thing over your face, so, and, like, it's got, like,
oh, my God. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's incredible.
It is.
Like, if I wasn't so ashamed of wearing it in public, that could be the single most awesome thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm Shredder.
Oh, and it even has a purple back for the cape. Mm. Oh, has someone been reading my diary? Like, how did they find this?
They inceptioned you.
I was incepted. God damn. They do a Krang hoodie also.
They do, yeah.
That's brilliant. Oh, that's creepy. That, like, I feel like people wouldn't know what the fuck is happening
with the Krang. They're like, murder you.
They're like, oh, God, what is that? Or like, sir, what's wrong?
Why do you have a knife?
Oh.
Yeah, so hopefully those guys show up in this Ninja Turtles movie. Because that might be, like, one redeeming thing about it.
Yeah, really. I mean, unless they're totally just, like, rebooting and, like, starting from scratch and gonna have them, you know, be mutant Ninja Turtles and not fucking aliens.
We'll still just call it Ninja Turtles.
Which also needs to change. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you can just call it TMNT if you don't want to say teenage mutants.
How about this? How about you call it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because you don't pay by the letter, and from that point, you just have theaters at their discretion abbreviate TMNT or Ninja Turtles or Turtles in urban theaters, you know? Like, whatever.
How about Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles?
No.
Which is what they call it in the UK, because Ninja was too violent. So they become Hero Turtles.
Oh, fuck the UK. Alright.
And Michelangelo couldn't use nunchucks.
So what did he use? Like, salamis? Like, in
a... I think he never had a weapon.
Ninja Turtle secret of use?
It's like, he just, like, took away his weapon. He just, like, fought with a weapon, I think. I don't know.
He fought with the power of love.
Yeah. He was like...
power of love.
He was like, whatever the stupid kid from Planeteers, Captain Planet was. Heart.
Mati,
yeah.
That's why I learned to
hate
American.
Why do you know that, Chris?
I can...
Dude, how do you not know?
I can communicate...
How do you not know? What you...
I can talk to animals.
That kid's a homo.
That just taught me, hey, anytime I'm in the Amazon, I should burn it down, so just in case Mati is, like, sleeping, I get him.
Yes.
Yeah, because fuck him and his family.
Everyone else has, like, godlike powers. He's like, I have a monkey.
Yeah. Oh, man. They're like, why don't you just stop following us around, Mati?
Yeah.
You know what was great? That show taught people how to make judgments about people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, oh, this South American boy, he doesn't have any good redeeming qualities, so they say heart. It's like, he's funky. You know? And it's like the hot Swedish chick is like fucking water, and you're like, yeah. I'm gushing.
The American is fire.
And I hope she is too. Oh, of course.
He's angry.
He's also a ginger.
Yeah.
Yep. He's like, oh, USA. He starts like chanting it. It'd be beautiful.
Where's that?
Now he just needs the rowdy gentleman back-to-back World War Champs tank top, and he'd be all set.
Where's that movie? Where's the Captain Planet movie?
I don't know, but Ted Turner needs to star in it.
Mm-hmm.
A la Robot Chicken.
Yes.
Captain Planet!
Okay, so I think that's it for news this week, unless there's anything else you guys saw that you want to talk about quick.
Probably, but I don't remember these things.
All of it's on the Facebook page if you want to go check that out.
And our Twitter retweets a ton of shit, sometimes with a witty quip attached to it.
Yes.
Usually something sarcastic and bitchy. maybe a little, you know, repressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. But we're a good, you know, source of news. Because instead of you having to look through your whole news feed, just take a look at our last few tweets, and you'll see what's important. Our last few retweets.
And we also collected all on Friday for a new shotgun, depending on how many producers there are.
Yes.
So anyway.
I have to say, I get most of my info from News Shotgun. Like, that's not even a plug, that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done, sir, because that's all you. So, thank you.
Blasting the face with knowledge.
12 gauge. We call that one
A lead facial.
Oh, yeah. So, why don't we get newish on there for the quick for the week, and then we'll get into what we're watching. But not pretty much nothing coming out this week in terms of new stuff. The biggest thing is American Reunion.
Fuck yeah.
Biggest in quotes. we have Adventure Time, the complete first season.
So I hear that show is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well, too.
Yep, it's pretty cool.
Check it out.
Warehouse 13, season 3. That show's still on the air.
Apparently.
I watched one episode and it was really stupid, so I never watched it again.
Like the concept of it, I just never wanted to get into it.
We have on Blu-ray, Sean Connery in Outland.
Yes. Yep. Sold.
Which, that would be, like, need to, like, watch that, like, a double feature of that and, like, Zardoz.
Ugh. Rough.
There's season 1 of Duck Dynasty out this week. I don't know if you guys heard that show.
No, but it sounds silly.
It's, I think it's an A&E, but it's this family who made millions of dollars selling duck calls and, like, duck hunting supplies, and now it's just
they'll put anything on TV, won't they?
Now it just follows them around because they're like these super rednecks, but they have like millions of dollars.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's like a reality Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, kind of.
Sweet. Okay.
We have Altered.
I can deal with that.
We have Altered States on Blu-ray.
Good.
We have Brainstorm on Blu-ray, which is Christopher Walken doing stuff. I believe it's like a medical thriller.
Wow. Medical thriller.
That's a genre.
Yeah, I just love that's Christopher Walken in a thrilling anything.
We have The Flowers of War, which is Christian Bale in like the China's epic. Like, it's some horrible historical event that happened in China or something.
Nah. Chris, our Asian Chinese person?
Yes.
Yeah, just Wikipedia history. Don't fucking sit through a 2-hour-long movie of it, I guess.
Batman's in it.
Boy. Like, the Batman or a Batman?
Christian
Bale. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's about the rape of Nanking, which is when Japan invaded China.
Probably my least favorite rape.
Like, after all these years, they could probably change the term of that, like the invasion of Nanking, but it's always the raping of Nanking.
Yeah. At least when you're talking, like, when China is talking about it.
Yeah, it's always, like, some sort of awful, like, I you know, it's an awful situation, and that happened, but they don't always have to, like, phrase it that way. Like, it's not happening currently, you know?
Yeah.
It happened, and that was, like, 40-something years ago.
You might change, like, the sexual assault of Nanking.
That sounds even worse. At least raping is kind of like, you know...
The looting of Nanking?
That sounds better, but that might seem like it's fucking, like, Hurricane Katrina, but it ain't, but... But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who like decided to forever keep calling it the raping of Nanking.
Things just stick, you know.
Yeah. But it's not even catchy, you know. It seems awful to say.
All right, I think
the Great Rape of 1912.
I think you offended enough people with that one, so I mean, yeah. Stuff that's coming out. Chariots of Fire is on Blu-ray.
Free Daniel Tosh.
Senna is on Blu-ray, which is, like, I think it's a documentary about this, like, race car driver. It won a bunch of awards. Spawn is on Blu-ray. I think, again.
Whoa, like, the Spawn?
Yes, like, Michael J. White Spawn.
Oh, man, so Black Dynamite Begins.
Yes.
Awesome.
I think it's already been on Blu-ray, but it's a re-release, new packaging, all that stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a coon's age, so you should probably check that one out.
And then we also have, on Blu-ray, Frequency, Dennis Quaid, Jim Caviezel. I think they're breaking codes or something.
Father and son.
Yeah.
It was Jim Caviezel is in the present time. He fixes a radio that somehow, like, some sort of...
Wait, let's him talk to his father.
Right, in the past.
Yeah.
And he can, like, he's trying to change his past through a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And like... It's a pretty good. I actually like this movie for like a. It's like a quasi time traveling kind of like, you know, mystery that it's real time effects, not just like, oh, I changed the past, I'm gonna wait and see what happens. Like, it's just like, oh, you do this, and like his present changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
And last thing of this week, Dark Shadows, the complete original series.
Which on what format? On DVD?
On DVD.
Fuck, that's a lot of discs.
Yeah, it's $431.
That's nonsense.
I know. Did they have like 1,000 episodes at least?
They had a shitload, because I remember being in high school and buying them in collections. They weren't even like season one, season two. It was like collection one. That's like this episode to this episode, which is basically like two story arcs. And I bought my mom like volume one, and it was like $60, like something ridiculous. But yeah, here's a tip for Dark Shadows fans. Just get a Netflix subscription.
Yes.
We're not paid to say that, but for $8 a month, they have the whole series streaming. Even the early episodes, like every last episode. So check it out.
Or you could spend $430 if you wanted.
Or, yeah.
I think, how many, what's that, like, $100 a year for Netflix compared to like the $400 to spend on like one show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you're sitting on your ass like me and are looking for employment and have $8 in your bank account, Netflix can actually keep you from killing yourself. So, you know, it gives you something to do in between kettlebell workouts. So, definitely a worthy investment for the $8 or whatever.
Speaking of Netflix, Joe, what are you watching on Netflix or other forms of consuming media?
Oh, what a seamless tie-in. Specifically, actually on Netflix today, I watched part one of the Woody Allen documentary that they just added to Netflix. And it's actually devilishly charming and very well done. And Woody Allen's also like the star of it, which is kind of nice. Because it's not just like Woody Allen was born in Brooklyn in 1930 or like whatever. It's actually like him like telling a lot of his story and giving perspective. So it's pretty cool, especially if you're a fan of his works. Like, you know, I'm a fan of a lot of his movies, but I'm not like I certainly don't worship the man. I mean, I think he's a phenomenally talented writer, certainly very prolific. And as someone who wants to be a writer myself, I think listening to him speak about writing was really inspiring, because he's such a prolific writer and, you know, producer of content. Just when you consider that, like, he's been consistently employed as a comedic writer or as a writer of some kind since he was 15 years old. So, I mean, that's impressive as shit. But just saying how, like, he even went at one point to some oh, crap, I can't believe I forgot the name of it, but it was some, like, theater camp or something like that. But it wasn't, like, for kids. It was, like, pretty prestigious. It was for, like, actors and directors and writers that were, like, trying to make it. It was, like, Broadway recruiting, stuff like that. That was in the Poconos back in the day, back in, like, the 50s or 60s. And he went for Three Summers Street as a writer the first year, and then the second year he went as a writer and director, and the third year he was a writer, director, and producer, and also starred in a lot of the sketches that he wrote. But the whole idea was that for the whole summer, instead of being like, hey, kids, we're going to do arts and crafts, and then we're going to do sports, blah, 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 it's like Monday morning, it's kind of like the SNL map, where it's like, okay, Sunday you have off, but Monday morning we start writing sketches, and then dress rehearsal is Thursday, with performances Friday. So he said that, like, it was excruciating and that there were times where he just wanted to, like, kill himself because he's like, I have nothing, and it's, like, Thursday morning. I'm like, like, I'm never going to, like, get this done in time. But it forced him to write. It, like, made him constantly be under deadlines. And to me, I don't know, I just thought that was very very interesting. And, like, I had, like, a small, like, anxiety attack just, like, thinking about being in that kind of situation. So, you know, it was certainly interesting. Whether you're a fan of his or not, like, even if you're just interested in making movies, like, it's an awesome documentary. So specifically, that's, you know, Netflix, I guess. But in general, what I've been watching for the last couple of weeks, we'll start off with a retrospective of the series as a whole, but I've been watching Jean-Claude Van Damme Behind Closed Doors on Showtime Extreme. This was actually a British television show, a reality series that was 8 episodes long, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and his wife, as well as his son Chris and daughter Bianca, and his many dogs, and random friends and coworkers, or not coworkers, but like colleagues and other celebrities and whatnot. So overall, I would say I'm really not a fan of reality television, but I guess reality TV is just different in, you know, in Britain, or maybe this was just a different kind of reality show. But, you know, I'm biased because I love Jean-Claude Van Damme. I think we can all say that. I think it's, you know, I think it's very fair to say that he's part of the reason why our site exists and why we like the things that we do, because of his movies. Not exclusively, but I mean, damn, he's definitely in the big four. He's an expendable, and I think that that basically sums up his status for everybody. So I'm biased right off the bat, but I mean, it was so entertaining for a reality TV show, and it wasn't this scripted bullshit. Like today, the Kardashians get into a fight, or like today, Paris Hilton or like the Jersey Housewives go jet skiing. Like, it's not this shticked bullshit where it's clearly written and there's like 100 producers and like all this stuff. Like, it's basically a sitcom shot with like, you know, a documentary crew. But with this show, you really got a sense of like they're following around Jean-Claude Van Damme and things are kind of unfolding. Like, there were clearly situations that seemed like, you know, scripted, or maybe it's like, hey, why don't you sit down and talk about this with your family? Like, you know, of course there were those moments, but the greater majority of the series is just like following Jean-Claude around as he like goes from movie set to movie set, or like party to party, or like things that he said he would like be a part of. And then another big arc is him training for this kickboxing fight he was supposed to have with this Thai kickboxer, champion kickboxer. You know, that was a huge story arc, and they really do fit a lot into 8 episodes, but I was just so impressed by this series. And to be honest, I was pretty inspired by Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, I know he's the butt of a lot of jokes, and, you know, nobody's more guilty of that than me, you know, or us. I mean, just look at our commentary of Hard Target. Like, I think it's fair to say, even though it doesn't necessarily make it right, it's fair to say that it was in, you know, obviously any bad things we say about Jean-Claude Van Damme are in jest and out of love, because, I mean, to me, I'm not even exaggerating here, he's definitely one of my favorite actors, and maybe that says something about my taste in, like, you know, films, but I'm a huge fan of his. So for me, it was very, very cool to see his interactions with people in real life and to see how he talks about things like his cocaine abuse and like his time in rehab, and like the way that after Time Cop, he was on a phone call with, I don't know if it was Warner Brothers or one of the big movie studios, and they're like, hey, we want to give you, like, I think it was like a 4-picture deal with like something crazy, like $6 million per picture. And this was back in like the early 90s. And he was like, I was fucked up at the time. Like, during this phone call, I was actually fucked up. And I like started screaming at them, saying like, I want $20 million a movie, like Jim Carrey. Like, I know he gets that kind of money. Like, that's what I want too. And it got him blacklisted, to the point where people just like would not work with him or anything like that. So, you know, just to see him talk so candidly about things, and like leaving his wife and having this like Hollywood lifestyle with the women and the booze and the drugs and the Gliven. And, you know, it was just very, very cool. And it's a shame to me that the only place you could see it is Showtime Extreme. Nothing against Showtime Extreme, because I actually think they're a pretty cool channel. But just the fact that this didn't get like a more major distribution, like the fact that I guess maybe E didn't pick this up, or even something like G4 or Spike TV, something that's a little more 18 to 34 male demographic, because I think it would have been perfect. You know, you can get it on DVD, but it's region 2. It was only released in Europe, so it's not going to play. So, you know, anyone who listens to this podcast will probably know how to acquire such content. But I highly suggest seeing it by any means necessary. So moving right along, I also saw Hesher, which was a complete and utter waste of time. Rainn Wilson, of Office fame, you know, is basically useless in the movie, and it's nothing against him. It's just like his character really serves very little purpose. You know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I didn't really understand his character. I didn't really like his performance. Like, I just didn't like the movie, to be totally honest with you. Like, I don't know if it's trying to be, like, making fun of Metallica fans, or if it's making fun of, like, fucked up suburban, like, dynamics. Clearly they're trying to say something about prescription medicine at one point. It's just kind of chaos. Like, it seems like it's almost trying too hard to be like a quirky, like indie movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's trying too hard to be like a Little Miss Sunshine or like a Squid in the Whale or, you know, something cool like Eagle versus Shark. Like, but it's like, it's none of those. And, it was actually kind of just weird and like uncomfortable to watch. So I won't say stay away from it, but I can't in good conscience recommend it to anyone. Something that Chris and I will be able to talk about is Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I'll save that for Chris, and I'll just chime in, but it's not pretty. I agree with your sentiment, Zach, however, that it is still better than the first. But that's not saying much. And, you know, I don't know. The Marvel Knights banner, I can't really see it sticking around. I wish it were different, but I can't see it sticking around. I also watched Where the Buffalo Roam, just because, you know, why not? I liked it. I thought that I still think Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is the better Hunter S. Thompson movie, but a lot of that is because of the visual direction and, you know, ultimately just Johnny Depp and Guillermo del Toro. Even though I did like Bill Murray as Hunter S. Thompson, I thought that was very cool. And I like the structure of the movie too, how it's basically just like little vignettes almost, taken out of like real life, greatly exaggerated, mind you, but real nonetheless experiences that Hunter S. Thompson actually had. And the fact that he served as an executive like consultant to the movie, he did it for both movies, but specifically Where the Buffalo Roam, that one being the first, and when arguably he was more significant, at least in like pop culture, like he was still writing articles consistently and was still like very controversial. So that was a cool movie. Definitely check it out. If you really want to enjoy it more, my advice to you, if you haven't seen it, would be to not expect it to be like the prequel to Fear and Loathing, and don't expect it to be cut from the same cloth. Like, just understand that like the characters are pretty much the same, but you know, it's a very different movie. So you won't be disappointed if you go into it that way. I also saw Haywire, which, you know what? I was actually a fan. I don't think it's up there with The Bourne Identity or any of those type of thrillers or anything like that. But, you know, as far as like espionage movies go and like double cross spy movies, it wasn't bad. I thought Gina Carano held her own. Certainly not going to win any Academy Awards, but you know what? Like, it's her first real film outing. And, you know, I think she did a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she can do the fight choreography and all that stuff, but like, why is she not playing Laura Croft? Like, immediately. Like, that's pretty much Laura Croft. Like, I think that there's a ton of potential there for her to make a transition, much like The Rock did. Because if you remember, you know, The Rock, who's also arguably one of the big four, his first foray into movies was The Scorpion King. So it's not exactly like he, you know, had a lead-off home run. You know, he kind of had to earn it. And then The Rundown came out, and that was, you know, better, and it got better. And then there's, you know, Tooth Fairy and, you know, The Game Plan. But you know, the Rebound's going on. Fast Five, you know, cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
Faster, that was even badass. So, you know, I think she has a pretty great future in movies, even if mixed martial arts isn't on her radar right now, though I wish it were, because seeing her versus Ronda Rousey would be amazing. And Michael Fassbender, yes, like you said, he was, I think, the best part of that movie.
The whole section where, like, they're, like, pretending to be husband and wife, and they have, like, the amazing hotel fight.
And best part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Best part of the whole movie. Other than, I will say, that first sequence with Channing Tatum was actually really badass.
Yeah.
Because, like, I wasn't really, like, watching it very intently. Like, and that's nothing against the movie. Like, I was just, like, you know, like, eating popcorn. So I was, like, just kind of listening. I had my headset on and stuff. And, like, all of a sudden, like, he just threw the coffee in her face, like, minor spoilers, and that whole, like, fight scene happened. I was like, oh, shit, like, it's going down. like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. I like that sort of, like, gritty fight choreography. The chase scene was a little bit random, I thought, like, in the Barcelona job where she's, like, chasing that guy for, like, 5 minutes straight, just, like,
yeah.
Both of them running.
It's, like, weird. Like,
I was like, okay.
No, it's, like, it's gonna be arty because it's black and white. There's jazz music playing.
Yeah. It was a little bit strange, but, you know, cool, I guess, nonetheless.
The cast of that movie is insane, too.
Oh, my God, the casting was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And Michael Fassbender, after seeing that sequence, by the way, he could be James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
He really could be. I love Daniel Craig. I think he's a great James Bond. I like him a lot as an actor, but Michael Fassbender pulled off that, like, British gentleman spy gig, like, so well.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing him in the tux, like, with the scotch, like, I'm like, if that were a martini, it would be James Bond. It was just perfect. So here's hoping to that. And then lastly, other than True Justice, which I think sort of deserves, like, a group retrospective at some point, I also happened to watch on Netflix The Union, which is a documentary about marijuana and cannabis laws and legality and whatnot in Canada, but also in the United States. Really, really great documentary. I actually watched it because one of the producers was recently a guest on and who also is the host of the film. So if you watch it, it's the guy taking you through. He was recently on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, and it was just a phenomenal story that he told about getting this movie made, about financing it, how he had to borrow, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars from his dad, who was a nightclub owner, and, like, his dad died during the production of it, and, like, he was still in debt to him. Like, it was just, like, a really crazy story, and it got me thinking, like, wow, he was obviously pretty passionate about, like, getting this message out there, and it's just such an awesome movie. Like, whether you're totally pro-marijuana legalization or, like, completely and utterly against it, like, it doesn't really matter, because this is taking more of a, like, historical stance. It's really just seeking to educate people and not just, like, brainwash people, because a lot of pot documentaries are about that. It's like, hey, man, it should be legal. This is more like, well, this is what's historically happened. This is why it's this way. And, you know, it does view it through the context of, like, isn't this kind of silly? But it doesn't necessarily come out and, like, beat you over the head with it, which I respect a lot. And I think others will, too. So definitely a cool documentary. And it's nice because it's not watching something about, like, you know, fresco art in the 1920s. Like, it's something that's, like, very much contemporary and, like, interesting. And there are dudes with, like, bandanas and sunglasses that, like, don't want to show their faces. And they're talking about, like, how they use, like, train cars to grow, like, acres of marijuana and stuff in, like, the Canadian mountains. Like, it's pretty interesting, if nothing else. So check that out as well.
All right. So,
fuck yeah, man.
Chris, what about you? You want to get to some Ghost Rider?
Okay.
I'm going to grab you, Ghost.
All right. So, yeah.
I am the spirit of
Vengeance. I saw Ghost Rider, and I didn't know what to expect besides action. You know, like, that's all I know of Brian
mayhem.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Action and mayhem. So,
unbridled.
I was like,
mayhem.
Okay, like, how are they going to. It's just like my goal watching this movie was, how are they going to deliver, like, these action sequences to me? Like, by like poor conveying storylines how they do this. So, I feel this movie was like two different movies put together. Whenever there was story development, it was rushed and just like undeveloped. And then when they went to action sequences, they were great.
Yeah.
It's just when they end it, it's just like, aww. For example, this movie can be summed up as Ghost Rider's European vacation.
Yes. He's in Bulgaria or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
At the beginning of the movie, Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's pretty general. Like, that's a real, like, that's a Jim Cotta move right there.
I had to escape from America and go to Western Europe where no one knew where the Ghost Rider is.
The Rider.
I just don't know where the hell, why he's in Europe. Just, oh, because I am. Like, okay, so why couldn't you go back to, like, the States? Oh, maybe I thought I could just go to Europe and let my Ghost Rider spirit take a break? Like,
yeah.
Okay, whatever, I'll forgive it. Because unlike some superheroes, Ghost Rider is a wanderer. You know, he goes places. He does weird shit. That's fine. Like, comic series, they don't have, like... Can you imagine a Batman movie where he doesn't leave Gotham? Like, where he just goes out of Gotham and just, like, explores? It wouldn't be a Batman movie.
Oh, God. Hard to bear with the episodes of the animated series. The ones that are, like, crazy, and it's, like, just him going after, like, Roz or something like that.
Or this is a weird dream.
Batman goes to, like, Wild West prison one. Just for fun?
Oh, yeah, that one was kind of weird, too.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay,
it's not what you're supposed to do.
Right. Like, the first movie tried to keep it within a city, sort of, and, you know, that was terrible. So they tried to do, like, okay, let's up the ante, let's up the scenery, but it doesn't make sense. First off, having, like, an army full of monks protect the, like, Antichrist child person?
Yeah.
Kind of weird. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but Christopher Lambert, he's in the movie for 5 minutes. And his role, I didn't understand his role. Like, it just, like, hey,
we have to.
I'm cool.
We have to kill the child.
Yeah, but that's not small. That's like, it's totally weird where it's like, why is he the only monk that has, like, this many obscene tattoos? Okay, whatever, that's not creepy yet. And then just, boom, hey, I've got, like, this really weird plan. I'm not really a bad guy, but I'm not really a good guy. Like, I didn't know what to think about him. You know?
They'd stop the apocalypse.
If so, they should have killed the kid, like, way before, like, any of this movie progressed more than they should have. You know? Like, if just shoot the kid.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Be a crazy demon powers, see. Chris.
Yeah, but that's because he had developed them. Like, he didn't know he had them until they started, like, reminding him that he had them.
So that guy bled next to him or something. Like, Ghost Rider, like, kills that one guy, and it's like, I think, where, like, the kid, like, cuts his head, like, his forehead open, and it's like, blood? Oh, yeah, I'm a demon.
Hmm.
Oh, that.
There's also a lot of good, like I don't know what's with Marvel, but I've always noticed these, like, dual identity problems that they always have. Like, they can never just accept who they are. They always have to, like, I don't want to embrace the thing in me or embrace my power. Like, they always seem to fight it. So, and this definitely doesn't change that, where it's like, Nicolas Cage just doesn't want to be Ghost Rider, but he ends up being Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few good scenes in this movie. There's a lot of weird dialogue that I really liked, but I feel like that's from Crank. Like, that's Brian Nevedine, just like, or Brian Taylor. Right?
It's Nevedine Taylor.
Nevedine Taylor, yeah. He, they wrote it to, like, fit well in the Crank tone. This isn't, it tries to be like that too, but, because it's Ghost Rider, I just couldn't get used to it.
Well, they're trying to be like, doing like, like, what's the craziest Nicolas Cage lines we can come up with?
Oh, too late. That movie exists. You know, that movie is a combination of Bad Lieutenant or The Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Or, another movie he made. Or Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass, he was a pretty good, like, Nicolas Cage mm-hmm. like, character. This movie, I don't know. It just, like, it was just awkward.
I liked one of the scenes I thought was awesome was, like, when they're, in, like, interrogating, like, the club owner guy. And, like, he has, like, the Ghost Rider is, like, popping out of his eye socket and stuff.
That was kind of cool, but in the comic, okay, it's like the Ghost Rider. In the comic, that shit wouldn't fly. It'd just be like, hey, you're pissing me off. Boom, I'm Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. Now what? The one weird part was when Nicolas Cage's character, Johnny Blaze, decided that he should be, like, the father figure to this strange devil kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one thing that really was weird was, I guess they're buying food at some European fast food place.
European Denny.
And the kid is, like, staring at another family, like a father and son. And so Nicolas Cage, after, like, the first time meeting him, like, after initial Ghost Rider meet, he, like, pets the kid's hair in a loving way.
Yeah.
You guys remember this scene?
Oh, God.
And the kid's like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, it's flipping your hair. It's like, it was weird, because it's like...
It's all right,
I get that. Like, they try to put the father-son, like, relationship, because Johnny Blaze didn't have a good father-son relationship. Or, like, he did, but it wasn't, like, that good. Or he misses it, or whatever. And the kid has a really fucked up father-son relationship, so it's like, oh, we're bonding. And it just felt, like, really weird to be in this movie, because it's like, out of everything that's going on, this is where you're going to show us, too? Like... This weird pseudo metaphor for, like, yeah, father and son relationship. So
yeah, it was
like
a,
I got
Idris Elba as, like, crazy drunk French monk
who just, like, disappears for half the movie
and then comes back and is like, hey, I'm on my bitchin' motorcycle.
I'm going to drink some wine. I survived falling off a 100-foot cliff.
It's 2,000 years old, brah. The good shit.
I also thought, like, Ghost Rider himself looked pretty awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, let's just say, there's a lot of cool shit that this movie did.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think the Marvel Knights moniker, I think that's going to be the formula, because if you look at Punisher Warzone and then you look at this movie, it's basically just over-the-top batshit insane.
Yes.
Like, you know, Marvel movies. And the only other real, like, Marvel Knights properties that they could use would be Daredevil and then Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, I would see a totally over-the-top crazy bitchin' Moon Knight movie, but I don't know. I think Daredevil deserves a more serious movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a little, like, toned down and more, like, I don't know, traditional. Like, I'd rather get, like, an Avengers-caliber Daredevil movie, even though that probably won't happen because it's not, like, a Marvel Studios film. But at least something closer to, like, The Amazing Spider-Man than to, like, Spirit of Vengeance. But,
mm-hmm. But yeah, I love...
You know,
like, I love the look of Ghost Rider. I like how his jacket was melting and shit and all that stuff. And then I also like the fact for, like, when the main bad guy turned to, like, whatever, like, Decay or whatever the hell his name was.
It was, like, Decay or Pessimist, one of those.
Yeah, and, like, I love, like, when you had that, the effect of, like, him, like, just, like, touching everything and, like, either, like corroding it or causing it to decay. That's pretty awesome. And, like, and then, like, the final, like, car chase sequence, where, like, which you saw, like, a bunch of it in the trailer, but, like, just, like, go start, like, flipping cars with his chains and all that stuff. That was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to beat this movie to death, because, like, it's not a terrible movie, but it's not like, oh my god, you know, it's not, and it doesn't live up to, like, the current status of, like, Marvel movies, especially after, like, the awesome lineup that we had.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not part of that cinematic universe, and
right.
I pretty much, like, I expected it to be, like, a batshit insane Neville Dean Taylor movie, and that's pretty much what I got. So,
right. See, like, if you walked in that attitude, that's
like,
fine.
I don't really, you know? I could give a shit about Ghost Rider as a character. So, he looks cool, and he's I never got into comics or anything, because it's, like, weird demon mythology and all this stuff, so. But yeah, Nicolas Cage freaking out with, like, Devil Dean Taylor directing it, like, yeah, that's pretty much the movie I wanted and I got, so.
Okay.
So, what else did you see, Chris?
I saw Safe House.
Yeah. Was it as awesome as JC's song led you to believe it was?
No. pretty much.
I thought it was solid.
This. Yeah, it's a solid movie. I just didn't like how it like ended abruptly. It was like weird. Like this movie was, I couldn't tell whose vehicle it was. It was like Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds, and it felt like that Man on Fire field where near the end it was just kind of like, it's not gonna end well. Like someone's gonna die.
That movie does not end well, you're right.
But it totally felt like a Tony Scott movie, even though Tony Scott had nothing to do with it.
Right, right. Even the weird ending, the betrayal scenes. But let's go back. So this movie, Rod Reynolds is an up-and-coming CIA agent who watches a hotel meant for, like, interrogation, housing. And pretty much everything goes wrong. And then the Washington's, like, the super spy guy. They don't really flesh out what he is. He's the most dangerous rogue agent.
Yeah, he went rogue.
That's it.
Tobin Frost.
Oh my god. I didn't like how, like, what half the movie he's all raggedy looking, and only at the end where he cleans up and it's like, that's the Denzel Washington I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the beginning of the movie, just like hobo Denzel Washington.
Yeah, hobo Denzel Washington. And just weird. It's funny how, I saw this movie, like, I think, like, they have the weirdest sound system, because, like, the dialogue was quiet, but then everything else was fucking loud, so I didn't know how to, like, level my sound, you know? It was just like, it's quiet dialogue, like, whisper dialogue, and it's like, I gotta raise the volume. And it's like, oh, car chase, so, like, fuck, now everyone's awake.
Gunfire.
A lot of good action sequences.
Yeah.
I do admit. They never really, like, okay, especially the Ryan Reynolds versus that other, like, guy at the other safe house.
Future RoboCop?
That's the future RoboCop?
Yeah.
That guy died like a bitch. But, it was, you know, like, that scene was, it's realistic. Out of everything I saw in the movie, that was, like, really gritty.
Yeah, they're definitely doing, like, the Bourne Identity, you are there thing.
Yeah. A lot of, like, shaky cam, a lot of, zoom in on, like, objects of attention. So.
Like, no music.
It's a very well, like, great-looking movie. It's just, it's not a movie I want to see more than once.
It's definitely, like, it doesn't do anything new with, like, plot or anything.
No, it seemed like I could predict everything that was going on within the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
So, oh, here's Ryan Reynolds, here's his girlfriend. They're going to probably have a heart-and-heart. He's probably going to tell her what he really does. Here's Denzel Washington. He's probably not going to kill Ryan Reynolds because the way he, like, controls himself.
They're going to begrudgingly respect each other by the end.
Right. Here's his, like, bosses. Like, Ryan Reynolds, like, overseeing bosses. One of them's probably the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, it's Robert, so easy it's to Robert Patrick.
Oh, Hitch, could he be the... No, he'd buy Robert Patrick.
He was awesome for the 5 minutes he was in the movie.
He was awesome, like, rolling up his sleeve. And then dying. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But I think at the end, where it got really crazy with the cross betrayals, just like, oh, I'm the bad guy. Bam, bam. Okay, you're with us, right? Okay, here's a gun. Hey, look, we got Frost.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I did not. I sort of saw that coming, where Ryan Reynolds was like, I'm going to do the right thing. But it was just like, why would that guy trust Ryan Reynolds instantly?
I did enjoy, like, in that last sequence where, like, Denzel Washington is, like, casually walking past doorways and shooting people. Like, he just, like, walked down the hallway and was like, bam, bam, and killed someone.
Yeah, and that other, like, hired henchman dude, was he a CIA agent?
I think they're all, like, CIA agents. But they were, like... Because,
really?
Like, the whole thing was that Denzel got a list of, like, all the corrupt agents in, like, a bunch of different agencies around the world. So that's why everyone wanted to kill him.
Right. Okay. So how now? Explain me to this. Was like, where did their training go? Did no one fucking learn how to shoot?
Who made that kind of list?
Yeah. Who? One. Who compiled a giant list of like all these like?
I'm on the bad guy spreadsheet.
Dirty agents.
Like, that takes a while to sit there and be like, who should I add to this list of like evil doers? Like, mm-hmm. but you know, fucking traitor list. Just like, wait, someone took the time and did that, and like, that's kind of weird. Let alone the most convoluted, like, microchip planning I've ever seen. You know, oh, he remember he puts the, like, the list in inside himself?
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that. I don't think he even got searched thoroughly.
Yeah, didn't he, like, he didn't put in, like, a little vial and, like, surgically implanted it himself?
Yeah, he put a little, like, yeah, he did the thing where, like, you want to do for, like, lost dogs, where, like, you put a chip inside them.
Yeah.
A subdermal chip. So that's what he did. I'm just like, that seems, I mean, I get it's supposed to be, like, you know, modern or, like, futuristic tech a little bit, but that was kind of weird. It seemed, like, stupid. Overall, it was an enjoyable movie because I had nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
But it was not like, oh, man, I'm glad I saw this in theaters or anything. I was like, oh, I saw it. You know, I was just like, man.
It'd be a good, like, Netflix, if you see it on Netflix sometime and, like, oh, yeah, that movie came out.
I wouldn't be surprised if this movie came to Netflix, like very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, like, faster than most movies. But I mean, it's a great hurrah for Denzel because he's getting old, and I don't think he can do any more of these type of movies without, like, obvious stunt doubles.
Hey, if Liam Neeson can do it, double. I think Denzel can do it.
But Liam Neeson has, like, a very strong career as, like, an action star. Denzel kind of flip-flops. Like, he's trying to do more as he's getting older, but it's like,
he's got a solid,
Liam Neeson's got that.
He's got a solid action career under his belt, I think.
Let me ask you this, though. Out of Liam Neeson and Denzel, who was a dark man?
Julie.
There we go. I mean, Denzel is...
Give me the fucking elephant!
But not that kind of dark man.
Die, dark man, die.
So, anything else, Chris?
No, that's it. I think, like, the lineup of Ghost Rider, Safe House, and Spider-Man within, like, a two-week span was just enough for me.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should mention that we all saw Spider-Man, but we extracted that section for its own review cast, which you're going to get right now on the site. An hour and a half.
Yeah, buddy.
Like, in-depth detail about Amazing Spider-Man. If you want to hear, like, details about every single scene in that movie, then definitely listen to our review cast.
Indeed.
All right, so as far as what I'm watching, I'll go through it pretty quick here because we're almost going on 2 hours. But I watched True Justice, the season finale, which I think we'll talk about that maybe next week if you guys watch the rest of the episodes. I don't know, what was the last episode you guys saw?
I saw the episode where the Japanese and the Yakuza and the Tongs are fighting the Mexicans for the drug cartel in New Orleans.
Okay.
Is it New Orleans?
They're in Seattle. They're in Seattle. Even though there's like
you think they're in New Orleans.
Yeah, there's an entire like fucking Cajun compound outside of Seattle.
Right, right. So I'm just a little confused about that, but go on.
Yeah, so I think you might be three episodes behind because there's like a two-part episode. There's like a two-part arc where they're trying to stop these Russian diamond smugglers, but there's also this whole plot about like someone from Steven Seagal's past is trying to murder him. Like, someone from, like, his Special Forces days. So he's I gotta figure out who's trying to murder me when I was a Tier 1 operative in Afghanistan. It's probably one of those people. And there's, like, in the 12th episode, there's an amazing, like, flashback to, like, what happened in Afghanistan. And, I guess, well, we'll talk about it, when you guys watch it, but the season ends on a gigantic cliffhanger. Which, fortunately, there's going to be a season 2, so we'll get that resolved, but
yeah.
It just ends, like, super abruptly. And the last episode, I think, well, I think we were talking about this last night after we did the Spider-Man review cast, but all the episodes so far have been, like, two, like part one and part two of, like, because they made them into, like, direct-to-DVD movies in, like, other places, like, parts of the world, like Europe. So it's like Dark Vengeance part one, part two, and, like, all these other weird, so, like, all of them have, like, they're, like, paired up. So I think episode 13 is, like, this weird, like, maybe they filmed it just for the, now it's a TV show. Because, like, half of it is just, like, clips from other episodes. It's, like, flashing back at, like, things that happened previously in the season.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. And it's, like, the whole thing is, like, their SIU headquarters gets, like, attacked by these mercenaries. That I guess the Russians or someone hires to, or there's some, like, I think there's, like, some main guy who's, like, behind everything for the whole season or something.
Naturally.
Because they flash back to, like, the way back in episode one where, like, the Japanese convenience store couple was, like, brutally shotgunned. And all that stuff. Like, they flash back to that and, like, a bunch of other stuff that happened during the season. But yeah, you guys should check that, get those episodes watched, and we'll hopefully talk about that next week or the week after that. and definitely for season two, I'm saying it right now, recaps of every episode for season two on the site.
Yes.
I should have done that for this season because it was that show was amazing.
How about on the podcast as well? Maybe a weekly...
What's going on? Check-in with True Justice.
Maybe a weekly True Justice check-in segment.
Yes. We should do, like, a separate True Justice podcast.
Oh, fuck. Don't play with me.
Call it, like, SIU files or something, or the Elijah Kane files.
Don't you play with me.
The Elijah Kane files. Well, we have to find, like, the theme song, though, for, like, to make it, like, this podcast theme song.
Oh, it'll happen.
When,
it's fine.
So, and then I also watched, movie-wise, I watched the 1995 Dolph Lundgren classic, Hidden Assassin, a.k.a. The Shooter, which stars Dolph Lundgren as Michael Dane, CIA agent, who has to find out who murdered the Cuban ambassador in New York City, and it's this, like, super, like, international assassin. And it turns out it's, like, this lesbian French club owner. And so there's, like, this, like, he has, like try to, like, worm his way into, like, her nightclub and, like, try to, like, hit on her and all this stuff. And then it's, like, oh, she's lesbian. Well, we can't do that. So let's just arrest her with, like, a taser. There's, like, a whole, like, car chase. And it, like, gets in, like, typical, like, the people he's working for backstab him. So, like, he's, like, work with her to, like, figure out who's actually behind all this stuff. There's, like, evil Cubans who, like, want to... Because the whole thing is, like, there's this, like... There's going to be, like, a peace treaty or something between America and Cuba. But it's gonna, like, the signing's going to take place in, like, Russia. Or, like, France or something. So there's this really weird, like, international meeting that's happening that makes no sense.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's definitely a... it's definitely a B... or, like, deep cut for Dolph Lundgren. It was actually one of my... another one of my 20 movies for $10 that I got from Walmart. So, making my way through those. I believe you can... I also think the whole movie's on Hulu, so I actually put that up on the site sometime for Everything Action Theater.
Genius.
And then the last thing I watched was actually started watching this new Disney Channel cartoon, which actually AV Club mentioned in one of their, like, TV Club other shows you should check out. It's called Gravity Falls. It's actually from...
Oh.
It's actually from the... what?
Okay, it's like Gravity Falls?
Yeah.
Get it?
Because gravity causes things to fall.
Get it?
Okay, I don't know. But it's from the guy who, I think it's the guy who also created, is it The Adventures of Flapjack or Misadventures of Flapjack or something? I don't know, Chris, what was that show?
The Misadventures of Flapjack.
Yeah, it's the same guy who made that. And it's about these two twins, Mabel and Tipper Pines, and they have to like go live for the summer with their crazy uncle in this town in Oregon called Gravity Falls. And he runs like this super crappy like tourist trap called the Mystery Shack. That, like, he like lures a bunch of, like tourists in with like it's the rock that looks like a face. And all these other like weird like they have like a wax museum of like celebrities. You know, a bunch of like horrible less like site like roadside attractions. But then it turns out like there's like all this like crazy stuff happening in the town. Like there's like sea monsters and like haunted convenience stores and the wax mannequins are alive and cursed and all this stuff. Like AV Club actually compared it to like Erie, Indiana.
That's cool. There hasn't been like a spiritual sequel to that.
It's actually cool because there's like it seems like they're actually gonna do like sort of like this like ongoing mythology kind of because like one of the kids finds like this guidebook that like explains like what's like what the creatures are of the town because apparently there's like, some guy in the past who was like, trying to like investigate like what's going on with this town. But it's also it's freaking hysterical, and the writing is amazing, and it's also got, it's like the voice cast, you have like. I think is it Kristen Schaal or Kristen Schaal from like Bob's Burgers? She's like one of the daughters, and she does a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I think it's Schaal. She was in Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, she's
as Mel.
Yeah,
she's just excellent.
Yeah,
recently on 30 Rock as well. But
so she plays.
She'll always be Mel.
So she plays Mabel in Gravity Falls, and she's just like constant. Like she's like she has like a never-ending supply of like crazy sweaters, like and like she's like obsessed with like glitter and like all this other like. She also like she's like constantly trying to find like a boyfriend, and like the most recent episode like she was actually like was like went out with like this like crazy like this like weird southern like preacher slash like mind reader, but he's like 10 years old. He seems like a Jack like it wasn't voiced by Jack McBrayer, but it seems like he would be voiced by Jack McBrayer because he's sort of like that country bumpkin sort of voice. And he seems like he's like one of the recurring bad guy or something. And they also had like awesome like a ton of awesome guest voices as well. Like for like the wax mannequin episode, they had John Oliver as Sherlock Holmes, and then like Coolio as Coolio.
Nice.
And Larry King is Larry King. And they had this whole battle. They like fight the wax figures, like all these historical figures. Actually, it reminded me like the if you remember like the Simpsons episode, but they like fight all the historical zombies, and Homer just like yelling like eat this Shakespeare, take this Genghis Khan. They're doing like because like they're like the kids were like whenever they like took down one of the wax figures, they're like yell like some like historical one liner at them. It's like have a nice fall, Genghis Khan, into the I guess it'd be the Ming Dynasty, I guess. I don't know. It's an awesome show. Like the writing is like it's on Disney Channel, but it seems like it would be like some of it's like would go like right over kids' heads. Just like, in terms of like what like they're like, the puns or like the like how subtle the jokes are and stuff like that. So I definitely say check it out if you get Disney Channel. It's on Fridays. It also reminds me a lot of like Sam and like if you ever play like Sam and Max, like their weird like, roadside tourist, like, kitschy Americana sort of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, it's a hysterical, awesome show. So definitely, like it seems like one of those like you know everyone's like let's say like oh Adventure Time's awesome or was it Regular Show or all those other was weird Cartoon Network shows. Like, this seems like one of those if people get into it. So that's all I've been watching. So while we wrap this thing up for the week, because we're getting up close to 2 hours, but we had to make up for the holiday break.
Yeah.
So if you want more information, go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, features, trailers, other or we have like a pretty much a feature every day, or sometimes two every day. We have reviews of, I think, thinking back to what we talked about today, there's reviews of Spider-Man, Haywire, Ghost Rider, and Safe House up on the site. So if you want to get going deeper in any of those movies, come check out the reviews that we did. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is the Facebook page. You can like us on there, see news stories you find from on the web. We put them up on there before we collect them all at the end of the week for New Shotgun. Also, any just random videos or pictures or whatever we find funny or interesting, we put them on the Facebook page during the week. So if you like them and comment on those on the Facebook page. And we're on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account. You can follow us on there. We retweet a bunch of news stories that we find. Just random witty comments from us. Sometimes we live blog movies if we're watching something and we have to be near something that can post on Twitter. We'll do that. And we're also on iTunes. If you want to go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast on there. Rate us. Leave comments. Leave us some reviews if you have a spare couple minutes. And you also get our app on there, which is free for your iPhone or iPod Touch. Gives you last-minute news stories from the site. And you can listen to the podcast on it as well. And actually, just recently, we're on Stitcher, if you use Stitcher for your on your iPod or Android or on the website. So they're like a streaming podcast player. So we're on there now. So if you want to add us to your, I guess it's like custom radio station, or just like check it out, like search for us on there.
Yeah, I mean, favorite us and you'll be automatically updated with the latest episodes of our podcast and whatnot. And the other cool thing about it is that you don't actually have to take up space on your iPhone or iPod.
Yep.
Or whatever you may be using Stitcher on. So, I mean, I've been using them for a long time anyway, and I'm glad that we're finally on there. So thank you very much, Stitcher.
Yes. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.